Welcome to the Defender Podcast, a resource to help mobilize and equip the body of Christ to manifest the gospel to orphans and vulnerable children. This podcast is a ministry of Lifeline Children's Services, and I'm your host, Herbie Newell.
Welcome again to the Defender Podcast. This is Rick Morton, and today is Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. And today is National Counseling Awareness Month, or I guess this month is National Counseling Awareness Month. And so I've got the opportunity today to be able to spend time with Angela Maines, who is our clinical director here and is the senior director of counseling and parent coaching. And so we're gonna spend a little bit of time and talk about understanding a little bit more about family therapy and understand a little bit more about the world that God's called Angela into. But before we get there, we're going to talk about, and we need to do a promo for Lifeline Counseling. And so appropriately, with 42 years of experience serving children and families, and, you know, even having families of our own, we know the value of counseling. We also know the end goal of counseling isn't to fix a problem, but it's to help us to develop as healthier individuals and families. We live in a world that's marred by sin. We encounter trauma, loss, grief, difficulties. But one of the things we're blessed with is God has gifted and skilled counselors to help us process those times so that we can heal, so that we can help others, and so that we can live for the glory of God. We're really grateful to our counseling team here at Lifeline and for the ways that they serve. And I just want to say too, if you would like to connect with our counseling team, they're some of the finest folks that I know and are here to serve, to come alongside families like my family. Although we can't do that because of ethical guidelines. So I'm totally off the rails here and I'm making Angela laugh. But we'd love to connect with you. Our team would love to talk and see if there's a way that they might be able to come alongside your family and help. You can visit our show notes for more details. Or if you would like to also to partner with us to help more families to be able to find a path toward healing and restoration, you can visit lifelinechild.org/donate to learn more about becoming a monthly donor and supporting our counseling process or our counseling team. So Angela Maines joined our team in December of 2012. She holds a bachelor's degree in psychology and a minor in family science from Anderson University, and she has a master's degree in professional counseling from Liberty University. Angela works primarily with attachment and trauma in children and adolescents and adults, as well as helping people with anxiety, grief, depression, anger, and just marriage and parenting support. She's a fully certified TheraPlay therapist. That is like, I feel like mouthful. That was a tongue twister that I should have done before we started, but I didn't. But she has that as part of her toolbox, as well as trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy. She is a trust-based relational intervention practitioner. She's certified in eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, or EMDR, and is a certified TheraPlay trainer and a prepare and enrich facilitator. Angela's also been blessed to train in corrective attachment therapy with Dr. Terry Levy of the Evergreen Psychotherapy Center. Angela's passionate about attachment and is excited to work with families who have welcomed adopted and foster children into their home with the hope that God will use her as a vessel of healing in their lives. But probably one of the best things I can say about Angela Maines is she's my friend and we get to work closely together every day practically. And so it's just an incredible pleasure to have you and for us to be able to have a conversation for a few minutes, friend.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
So let's just kind of start at the beginning, and we're in the midst of National Counseling Awareness Month. And so if there are folks that are sitting out there and they're reluctant to think about counseling, about maybe adding counseling to the ways that they're trying to help their family. What would you say to them?
I would say, you know, it can be a scary step, right? It takes a lot of vulnerability to ask for help and to let somebody speak and enter into that innermost parts of your world that you might be pretty ashamed of or not want to share with someone. It can be really scary to take that step. But at the same time, like, it can be so rewarding and such a blessing to people who do take that step. And one of the things that we believe so firmly around here is that connection. God created us for connection, and connection heals. And so often that's the foundation of any kind of therapy, is the relationship, the therapeutic relationship. Mm-hmm. And so being able to connect with somebody and reach out for that help and support, most people find it very worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is a scary step, right?
Yes.
You know, and I think sometimes not understanding the process, not understanding what, you know, what counseling really is a big part of the fear. I think we have a lot of misconceptions. We were laughing even before we recorded today about, you know, TV shows and some of the things that we see out there in the media about, you know, even about what therapy is. And it's not anything like what, you know, what the media depictions are. And so I think, you know, honestly, for a lot of us that are in the foster and adoptive world, I think there's a little bit of a misnomer that we're kind of encouraged to think about counseling in terms of our kids. And we're kind of encouraged to think in terms of those adverse experiences that our kids have had, or those, you know, those things that are, you know, that have really deeply affected them, and that counseling is the way to help our, you know, help unwind those things and help to, you know, begin to understand and maybe seek restoration or reconciliation. I think what we don't hear enough is that sometimes it's about us, and it's about what we're not able to do or be in being really available to our kids because of things that are, you know, things that we're wrestling with. And so maybe just kind of expound on that a little bit about what, as a therapist, about the way you found yourself able to come alongside parents and really help them in the journey of parenting a child who comes from a hard place.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you touched on a lot there. I think big picture, there's lots of different types of counseling out there. And so specifically for you all that are adoptive and foster families, what we know, we hear all the time, you probably have heard this statement, and if you haven't, I hope that it's helpful, but it's that you can't lead a child to a place of healing you yourself haven't gone. So we can, you know, good old Karen Purvis helped us with that one. And so at the end of the day, like, none of us grew up in perfect families. None of us had perfect parents. And so we've all got wounds of our childhood to differing degrees, right? Like, some big, some small, big T trauma, little T trauma.
Yeah.
But significant experiences or self-doubt or things that are a result of living in a fallen world, it's understandable and it's normal. So the shame that the evil one tries to heap on us that keep us trapped is what exactly we're trying to help people overcome in counseling. And that, I think, is just magnified when you're trying to parent a kid from a hard place because they're bringing all of their stuff and you've got your stuff. And honestly, you probably were doing pretty good until this child entered your home. Maybe you guys were able to function pretty well, but our kids are really good at kind of finding those cracks and widening them. And so what might have been holding together just fine before that kid came in might now be exposed and need some attention, right? The work in the foundation. And at the end of the day, I think parents get really scared that we're going to look at them with judgment for how they feel. And I promise we've heard it all before. And there's no shame. Like, it makes sense. Like, people generally make sense when we take the time to really understand them. And so that's what we want to do as counselors, is just sit with and hold, psychologically hold, not necessarily literally, but you as parents in the midst of the mess, in the midst of the brokenness, and let you know you're not alone and that it's okay. Whatever you feel is okay. And we're going to, you're not alone in it. We're going to help you with it. We're going to walk through it with you so that you can help your child get to that place of healing. Yeah. But it does start with parents. And it's not because you as a parent aren't like doing something right, or you aren't good enough, or you aren't fill in the blank. It's because we know you have the biggest potential to be able to help your family. Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, something we have, we've talked about in, there's a, I don't even want to call this. There's a parenting, paradigm. Would that be right? Connected families.
Yeah.
And so we've partnered with an organization called Connected Families. And one of the things that I love that that they say in their, you know, their parenting training is that one of the first things that you need to consider when especially when disciplining is what's going on in you.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that I think coming from the perspective and speaking as somebody who's done this, who's lived it, who is living it, I the little warning that's on the side of like aerosol cans, you know, contents under pressure.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Well, like we're contents under pressure.
Yes.
And the fact is that that what's inside gets squeezed out.
That's right.
And sometimes what gets squeezed out is really that unsanctified, in process, still not really looking like Jesus part of me. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, like for most of us, that can be, it can be humiliating. It can be, you know, defeating. But it also can be scary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to find things in you that,
yes,
you know, maybe you didn't even realize were there.
Yeah. It's like coming to face to face with the own depths of your own depravity.
Yeah. Right. And so, but I think the benefit of therapy is being able to talk to someone who's safe, mm-hmm. who's not going to judge you, who's there to help you, but also somebody who is going to be completely, you know, private.
Absolutely.
Somebody that you can share those things with, who's gonna walk with you, who's gonna help you to take perspective when you find it hard to take perspective for yourself, who's gonna talk to you about productive things that you can begin to do when sometimes you don't know what the next step is. And really just kind of help you walk through those things and see that there's, you know, that there's hope on the other side. And so very much here at Lifeline, we see what we do in counseling as part of our discipleship journey. And what we do, although, you know, you're using therapeutic techniques like EMDR and like DDP and all these things, all this alphabet soup that I quoted that you have all these impressive credentials in, what that really means is that we have a bunch of really reliable techniques that help people to be able to, you know, see themselves and take perspective and understand and have the opportunity to work through those things. But at the end of the day, it's really about helping you to know and understand and to acknowledge those things, so that we can then just really go lay them at the feet of Jesus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't know if this is a helpful thing for people to think about as they think about going to counseling. It's that there's this lovely term that we like to use as counselors. And this is fresh on my mind today, just because I had tons of conversations with the people I'm supervising this week about kind of our own stuff that comes up through therapy. And so that parallel process that happens. So everything that we're trying to help walk our parents or our kids through, we have to do for ourselves. We have to come to terms with our own depths of depravity and admit to ourselves our own shortcomings and failings. And by doing that and talking about that with our own people therapists or other friends that are therapists, colleagues. We are free to better help and hold you and can really feel with because we've had to walk through it ourselves.
Yeah.
And so even as you sit in front of a therapist, whether they're an adoptive parent or not, everybody that is on our team has a heart and a passion and has sat with their own humanness and their own stuff.
Yeah.
And again, for the idea that iron is sharpening iron, we are in this together. Nobody's by themselves. And we are using a lot of techniques that are helpful and are based in science, which we believe we can attribute science to Jesus.
Right.
But with that worldview, that Christian worldview and that lens of the gospel and meeting people wherever they are. I mean, there are so many families that might hear that we're a Christian organization and be like, they're just going to throw scripture at me. Yeah. And, you know, the beautiful thing is we have a lot more tools in our tool belt and we can meet people where they're at and where they're at on their faith journey.
Right.
Because, you know, we are also those professional counselors that want to respect where each individual is. And I've heard all of the full spectrum of where people are on their faith journey, the sin that they struggle with, and a lot of times, and Rick, you've really helped me with this over the years of seeing that we're often dealing with, yes, our own sin, but also the sin of other people that we're feeling the effects of. Right. And that's true for us as individuals, as well as our kids. And so that's the beauty that we get to sit in the mess with.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the midst of that mess, it's not just like that toolbox is not just filled with techniques, right? That work, but ultimately it's grounded in the fact that we know that we have hope, that we know that we have an advocate, that we know, absolutely, you know, all those things are true. And I think, you know, what I love, you know, just as we're able to interact appropriately about what you do, and you know, but just the notion that part of what you're able to bring to families is not just a professionalism, but it's a personal conviction that that the Lord is real, and you know that the Holy Spirit is present and active, and you may be sitting in front of a client, quite frankly, who doesn't believe that.
That's right.
But it completely changes and shapes the way that you see them and approach them, and about how you see God relevant in the process. And
absolutely.
And I love that. I love the fact that that through counseling, you're really bringing the gospel to bear and bringing the fruit of the gospel to bear in the lives of the folks that, you know, that you're working with. And so we want to see clients that are not, you know, not always walking with Jesus, because we, you know, we feel like the process and the encounter is going to draw them closer to really being able to see the authenticity of who Jesus is.
Absolutely.
So, you know,
hopefully we can love people well wherever they are.
That's right. That's right. Well, so, you know, we talk about, and we kind of, from a conceptual perspective, we talk about, you know, nurturing and healing and growth. And, you know, those are terms that we kind of throw around all the time. But when we deal in the realm of attachment and trauma and, you know, other areas like anxiety and depression, how do you actually facilitate someone, you know, being nurtured, finding healing, you know, taking steps of growth when they're kind of caught up in the midst of, just not really being able to see that for themselves?
Yeah. I mean, that's a big, deep question. Yeah, that my favorite answer to give, especially like turning, is like, it depends.
Yeah.
it's like my great non-answer.
That's right.
But it does. It depends. But like, generally speaking, you know, we're using that solid foundation of attachment theory, which I believe is grounded in who God's made us to be. Of, we are all created for connection. And, you know, we love the word connect. Every ministry I think we are attached to or affiliated with has connection in the name. But it's beautiful, right? Because a connection can be healing. And so that's going to look a little different if it's an adult coming in and it's one-on-one with the therapist versus parents bringing a child. You know, we love to approach everything from that family standpoint, whether the family is present in the room or not.
Yeah.
So if it's a kid who's come home recently for adoption and we're trying to facilitate connection and bond, it's going to start by a lot of work with parents. Yeah. And that sometimes is surprising because we are very much of the mindset that we are not going to be able to fix your kid in an hour a week. Not that your kid even needs fixing.
Right.
Right. That we want to facilitate and help you as the parent be able to be the one who is helping them and feel supported in knowing how and when to respond to certain behaviors. And that best vehicle to do that is going to be through play. And so I think sometimes that catches parents off guard because they're like, but we need to talk about this and this behavior needs to change. But we're trying to create a right-brained experience that repairs whatever that child missed out on.
Yeah.
And so that playful connection is the way we do it and not through the power struggles that often ensue outside of the therapy room. Yeah.
You know, we've said this before, and I know our friend Ann-Mara Hinton, who has been on the podcast many times, and I've had the privilege of interviewing, but we all work really closely together. But one of the things that, you know, I learned in seminary, through a dear and wonderful friend, Dr. Paula Stringer. Paula was a professor of childhood education at New Orleans Seminary where I prepped. And Paula used to just remind us all the time that with children, play is their work.
That's right.
Right. Like, you know, that's how kids are, learning and experiencing the world. That's how neural connections are formed. That's how, like, all of the important things that are about child development are like they happen through the context of play.
Absolutely.
And so when our kids have not been able to play well, either because they haven't been shown to play, they haven't been taught to play, or they haven't had the freedom and the safety and the security to be able to play.
Yeah.
Then we've got to go back to that place.
That's right.
You know, and I think in many times, you know, as an adoptive parent, we're so afraid of what's coming next. We don't want to go back. We like our focus is we want to go forward.
Yeah.
Because we're scared of what's going to happen if we don't go forward. And I think, you know, it's an incredible paradox, you know, to think about that these very fundamental things that God has wired into us and just made us for, that really a lot of what you're doing is helping people just kind of get back to the basics and to step through things that we honestly, like, we don't intuitively think about taking those steps back. We're so, you know, just kind of dead set on pressing forward and
absolutely.
Yeah. So,
yeah. To steal from like Bruce Perry and the whole idea of the neurosequential brain development, like you have to fill in the gaps. The brain is built from the bottom up. And so when they're, to your point, like play is a child's work, is what helps develop their brain, like you said. So when they have missed out on those opportunities, in order for them to go forward, that is the great paradox. They have to be able to experience what they missed out on.
Yeah.
And so that does become pretty crucial. And that's just as important for us as adults, too, in a lot of ways.
Right.
That, again, parallel process. We talked to, I'm going to steal from Paris Goodyear Brown and her idea of cascade of care.
Yep.
Right. Like I'm providing for parents what they need to be providing for their kids. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's a cascade of, I want to be pouring into them so that they can pour into their child. And so it's not just about a kid. It's also making sure that we as adults have room for play, that we can experience and engage in that when needed, in order to help everybody in the situation heal.
Yep. Yep. And it's, you know, and I think too, I'll just add, like, one of the things that's probably not intuitive in all this is learning how your children play.
Mm-hmm.
And that one of the crazy things in the midst of all this is that sometimes because of the things that our kids have experienced and where they've come from and some of the things that we'll just like we're never going to be able to go back and, you know, backtrack through, they may play really differently.
Mm-hmm.
Their interests may be different, their mindset may be different, and part of it is learning how to, I'm going to say it this way, like learning how to be in rhythm with your child.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think, you know, one of the beautiful things that, you know, you and your colleagues are able to do is to come alongside families and help them sort of recognize and acknowledge those places where they're struggling to be in rhythm.
Absolutely.
And help them find that, you know, that rhythm.
That's right. I mean, as a TheraPlay therapist, my goal is to create these what we would call moments of meeting.
Yep.
Those moments that are surprising that you both laugh because it's like you've connected on this heart level.
Yep.
And it's not necessarily something that's always planable, but that's what we try to do, yep. right? Like we're trying to predict and plan and facilitate that so that you do feel in rhythm, that you're feeling that attunement
yep.
with what your child's going through and that you can read their body language and their expressions mm-hmm. that may have been confusing mm-hmm. Differently and more accurately to that place where you are feeling more connected.
Now you're going to mess me up because I'm like going to start crying in the middle of all this. Everybody knows I'm a crybaby, but I think before I knew yeah. what the concept of attunement was, like one of the things that you know, when you're working this way and when it, like you do, you find these moments where like your heart, your spirit, just kind of resonates with your child mm-hmm. like a tuning fork.
Yes, exactly.
And it's those moments of connection. And, you know, and I don't want to be real hocus pocus and, you know, but truly,
yeah.
I think those are the things that conventionally in parenting, mm-hmm. those are the things that happen in infancy. Those are the Absolutely. Things that happen when, you know, you're staring in each other's eyes and you know, you're 10 inches apart and you're, you know, and
laughing and your baby makes a funny noise and coos and giggles. And there's that serve and return where you feel connected.
100%. And in those moments, mm-hmm. we all know anybody that's been in that circumstance knows the sense of connection
yeah.
and the resonance that you feel.
That's right.
Well, that's what we're trying to get to.
Exactly. Limbic resonance is what you just described. You know, you wow. were using that term.
Look at that.
You're so smart.
That's right. Like this is like what we were talking about before we got on the air. Like I've watched enough shows. I can be a doctor.
But it's so true. And so when you as an adoptive parent, maybe you got your kid as an infant, but maybe you didn't.
Yeah.
And so that's really what we want to cultivate. And so therapy, especially with our kids, often looks different than people expect. It's not always sitting on a couch and talking
yeah.
and dealing with all the things. And it's my mother's fault. Yes. All of those things kind of can come into play at times. And we do ask a lot of questions about our family of origin because it does impact who yeah. we are. But also the goal is to facilitate these moments, which we don't like to say that therapy can be like when we do play therapy with kids, we don't want to say it's going to be fun because yeah. the reality is a lot of times we're dealing with things that aren't fun.
Yeah.
And sometimes facilitating these connections and this intimacy is very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so it may not feel fun.
Yeah.
And I think it's also surprising for parents what comes up in them as we're doing that.
Yeah.
And so our role and what makes us different than typical therapy or talk therapy is that we are here for both parent and child mm-hmm. and facilitating that and that whatever's coming up is okay.
That's awesome. So, you know, we've established that our team really just wants to meet people where they are. And we have a variety of different sorts of tools. And we've talked a little bit about TheraPlay and we could talk mm-hmm. about the others, but we're not going to because we're not going to try to get into the weeds of, you know, all the technical things. But like the fact is that there are a lot of different ways to approach mm-hmm. Just helping us to get to those points of resonance, right?
Absolutely.
Like there are a lot of different ways for us to dig into that. But like maybe this is a weird question. Okay. So try to stick with me for a second. But you take a variety of different approaches mm-hmm. and you just like you blend them together to try to create a solution for a child or for a family. Like talk about what does that really mean? Like, how does that really work in terms of like using the techniques together, or like what would an experience look like for a family where, you know, where you're taking different approaches to be able to get to the desired end?
Yeah, I mean, it looks a few different ways. And so I'll just give an example. You've heard the term EMDR. I think that's a nice hot button therapy approach that lots of people enjoy. And so one thing that I love is where like TheraPlay is very experiential. There's a great opportunity to blend. And I think that a lot of the approaches we're using have a similar enough theory base that there's more in common than there is different. So like with TheraPlay and EMDR, it might mean occasionally we're adding in what, this is a big word, bilateral stimulation. And that just is a fancy way of saying we're going to do something that engages both sides of the body and brain.
Yeah.
And so it could be your kid has a really great moment where they're feeling proud of themselves. And we're like, you know what? Hey, let's take a second. We're just going to tap.
Yeah.
Right. And so that looks silly and might be like, this woman's crazy. Yeah. I really do think most of my clients think I'm a little crazy and I'm okay with that. But that could be one way, or it might mean that when we've been doing this rhythm of play session and it's predictable for the child, we have a natural story time in it that we begin to weave moments of their story into it with, again, bilateral stimulation to help them be able to process their story in a way that brings that coherent narrative. It's helping them make sense of their story.
Yeah.
And so we can use, again, it might look a little different with an adult, but a lot of our adults need the same thing. And so we might do something similar, but on a more mature level for an adult that's there. When it's, you know, there's a big struggle, it's using things like dyadic developmental psychotherapy, like big words, to help facilitate conversation about the story. Mm-hmm. My primary modality is TheraPlay, so I'm going to weave it in that way, where somebody else might have a primary modality of EMDR and they're weaving TheraPlay in. And one's not right or wrong, it's just different, but it's similar goals of we want to help people make sense of their stories. Mm-hmm. And the reality is our bodies are a big part of that.
Yep.
And so we want to build the connection. And Mara also talks a lot about integration.
Right.
Right. So we're doing similar goal in therapy. We want to integrate both top down and right left hemisphere in the brain. And so we have to engage our bodies to be able to do that.
And so there are these things that where like literally you may be in the midst of doing something in play, or you may be talking through a part of a story. And like you said, you may stop and say, okay, let's tap our shoulders.
Yes.
And we, you know, and it seems strange,
but
the fact is that they're just things that we know about the way the brain works and about how to create attentiveness in those moments that are helpful in the play or in the things that we're doing. And so that's, you know, that's the thing that sometimes I think you know, when you haven't been in those kinds of situations, it feels a little mysterious. Like, what is it they're really doing in that closed, quiet room? You know, what is, well, first of all, one of the things that's funny is our rooms aren't really all that quiet.
That's accurate.
And, you know, because we're getting physically active and because we're, you know, we're helping people to, you know, play together. But also they're just kind of these pieces and parts of things where, you know, we may add something in order to help the brain kind of be at attention, or help both hemispheres of the brain be able to connect with a kid that's struggling for that to happen, or maybe even an adult that's struggling for
that
to happen.
That's right. Absolutely.
And so, you know, at the end, it's not always fun. And you said that, but it's not as hard as people think it is either.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously that depends, because everybody's stories are a little different and some are more intense than others. But the scariest part sometimes is that first step.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, our team wants to be here. And I know even just the process, and I'd love to describe a little bit about our process just to help people know what to expect. But we want to make it as simple as possible. So we've got a very simple form that's on our website that when you're interested for whether that's counseling or parent coaching, it's the same process, or even bridge tutoring. Mm-hmm. I'll put a little plug in there for that. You fill out a form and one of our lovely people will be in touch and get some information. And the way that we go about it, and just to kind of demystify it, is we want to start from the beginning. I know one concern, especially with the economy the way it is money, and how are we going to pay for it? Yeah. So we just connect you with our person who wants to ask you some questions and figure out what is going to be the best way to help you pay for that.
Right.
For our adoptive and foster families, we have grant money available. So we also bill insurance. But sometimes that's not a possibility for people, and that's okay. Don't let money be the thing that stops you from reaching out.
That's right.
For any of those three services, there are scholarships or grant money available. Yeah. And so we'll start and try to connect you with the person that's going to be able to help you and meet you where you're at in that moment. And then once that happens, you'll get connected with the therapist and they'll probably email or call to schedule the appointment. Yeah. So we, again, try to make it as quick and as painless as possible. Sometimes it takes a second to figure out schedules, especially with kids. But we will work with you to figure out how we can make that work, and we can provide school excuses. Because at the end of the day, a lot of times it does require a daytime appointment. Yeah. So we want to make it simple. We want to make it easy. And so those are the easiest ways to get involved.
Yeah.
And I know that's a really scary step.
Yep. Yep. But the thing I can tell you with great confidence is there aren't scary people on the other end of the phone.
That's right.
There are a bunch of people that, you know, frankly, just love Jesus and love what they do and, you know, really value the opportunity to be able to walk with people and to, you know, to really help them find that, you know, that sense of peace, that mm-hmm. sense of, you know, of understanding, whatever, you know, whatever it is that that the Lord needs to accomplish and we need to help in order to see that. Well, Angela, thanks. Thanks for spending another podcast. I feel like we do this several times a year. And so hopefully we're getting better at it, right? Like, but no, seriously, just super thankful for you and thankful for all you do. And just want to encourage the folks that are listening that, you know, if you think that that family therapy might be able to be a part of the journey for you and your family, then reach out. Please check us out, lifelinechild.org. You can find the intake forms there, and we would love to begin a conversation with you. And we just want to say thanks. Thanks again for joining us on the Defender Podcast. Thank you to Angela for coming and being a part of today. And we just want to encourage you that as you continue to walk through the journey of your life with the Lord, that we're mindful of those vulnerable kids and vulnerable families and people around us that we're able to share the love and ultimately share the assurance and the attachment that we find with the Lord through what Christ has done. And so thanks again. We look forward to you joining us again for the Defender Podcast. We'll be back here again next Wednesday, and we'll love to meet you here.
Thanks for listening to the Defender Podcast. If you enjoy making this podcast a part of your weekly routine, we'd love for you to take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review the Defender Podcast to make it easier for more people to find. For more information on how you and your church can partner with Lifeline, visit us at lifelinechild.org. If you want to connect with me, please visit herbienewell.com. Follow us at Lifeline on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter by searching for Lifeline Child. You can email us directly at info@lifelinechild.org. Beloved, will you allow God to use the gospel through you to impact the life of a child? Please contact us because we are here to defend the fatherless. We'll see you again next week for the Defender Podcast.